Right now it's time for another one of our Foundation for Community Health interview segments, where we take the time to interview a local non-for-profit that has been associated and involved with the community for the Foundation for Community Health, and explains what's great about this series. It really, for people that have heard about the foundation but aren't really sure what they do, it really explains how pivotal the Foundation for Community Health is in our tri-state area, and also it highlights the various agencies that they work with. This morning we're going to be talking about the Susan B. Anthony Project with the executive director of the Susan B. Anthony Project, Jeannie Fusco. Jeannie, good morning and thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you?
Cold but okay.
Yes.
getting set for the eventual winter that will set in our area.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about, first of all, the Susan B. Anthony Project. I'm familiar with the Susan B. Anthony Project from many, 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 many years ago when it helped my sister. Let's talk about the origins and how long the project has been in operation.
Okay, thank you. Susan B. Anthony Project has been in the area since 1983, and we are a dual services program, which means that we serve sexual violence and domestic violence victims and survivors. We are one of just five organizations that do so in the state, and we serve 18 towns and two small cities, and we share the six towns in the Sharon area with women's support services, and when I say we share them, they provide the domestic violence services there, and we provide sexual violence services across the whole of the 18 towns and two cities.
You know, I'm glad you point that out, because I think a lot of people confuse the fact that domestic violence and sexual, they are part of the same problem, but they are totally different in every way.
Well, there are some very significant similarities.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the most significant similarity is that these are circumstances of coercive control that happen in relationships where people are engaged in, even in the case of sexual violence, mostly know each other.
Yeah.
So that's the first. And then the other is sexual violence can be a part of the dynamic of domestic violence. And as you point out, it can also be a very significantly separate event. For instance, we serve about 400 children a year who have been victims of sexual abuse, and through a child abuse investigative team, that's a multidisciplinary team for Northwest Connecticut, we meet with children and their non-offending parents or caregivers who are responsible for taking forensic evidence and exams and things like that, and then offering longer-term support and care while those children are healing and working through the process of that abuse. Similarly, adults experience sexual violence outside of the context of domestic violence.
We're speaking with Jeannie Fusco, who's the executive director of the Susan B. Anthony Project. That was a nice broad overview. Specifically, the nuts and bolts of what you can do as the Susan B. Anthony Project, what you exactly offer for these victims.
Yes. So we have so many services that I think people are unaware of. And the first is that we have a 24-hour hotline, and it is 365 days a year. All of our services are free to victims and survivors. And those people who are also in their families and circles of support who may need help. So in addition to advocacy counseling support groups, we do have emergency shelter and transitional living programs for people who are experiencing both domestic and sexual violence. And we have advocacy in the courts, at the hospitals, with first responders. We provide job readiness and job search assistance. And key, and the way in which we are most connected to the Foundation for Community Health, our dual mission, besides direct services, is also focused on prevention education. And in those services, we are seeking to really do primary prevention, which means reaching out to anyone in advance of needing services, and this includes school children from pre-K through grade 12.
And I think one of the most important things on the front that I see that you supply is when someone is abused in a relationship. And I think it's very important that you supply a safe place, a safe haven for them to initially begin their recovery. And I say begin their recovery because I know with my sister years and years and years ago, she was abused by her husband, her first husband, many, many, many years ago. We found out about it simply by accident, by stopping by her house one day just for a visit and looked at her and saw the bruises. But she needed some place to go immediately, and she found some place to go. And that was just the first of many steps that she had to take to get her life back under control.
Yes, in the same way that domestic violence doesn't begin and end very suddenly, it also isn't something that can be addressed in just, oftentimes in just a few sessions. So what happens is this variety of services that I mentioned to you, whether it is domestic violence, and in our focal area of domestic and sexual violences, we offer people the opportunity to understand what services are available to them and then select and follow that path with them on a schedule that works for them, and that sometimes folks need a little bit more time in one place. Sometimes they go away and they come back for more support, or may go from an individual set of circumstances working with an advocate to a more support group setting. So there are a variety of different ways that we can help. And it's not time limited in a lot of ways that other kinds of interventions can be.
Yeah, and there's a tangent. There's something that goes on with my sister. She had two young boys, so not only did it affect my sister, but it also affected the two young boys. And you know, it's interesting. I heard one of her sons talk just the other day. How brave he found his mother to finally pick up, bring them with her, and get out of that violent scene. This is not, now we're talking like 30, 40 years later, and it was still very vivid in his mind.
Mm-hmm. And so those are words I use all the time. It's brave. It's courageous. It's very difficult for people to either pick up that telephone or ring the bell to come in and say, I need service. And sometimes people are just even needing to have some clarity about what is happening in that relationship. And so that is an opportunity to explore that as well. Also, oftentimes, folks are afraid to, like, sort of come forward and identify themselves. And it's also really critical to note that any services here can be anonymous and confidential. People don't have to identify themselves. Typically, in time, folks do, but it's not required in order to receive services here.
And what's interesting is both you and Women's Support Services have websites, and on your website, one of the first things you see is there is a place where if they're on a computer and they've accessed your site, they can very quickly push a button and not be discovered that they're contacting you.
Yes, and as all of the ways in which, you know, media, social media, and electronic advancements have been made, those are also sometimes the ways in which abuse can continue to be perpetrated against individuals. And so we want first that people can feel like they have safe connection. And we have become aware of the ways in which we have to help folks to also understand the way in which their devices may be, adding to some sense of, safety that's being breached for them.
We are talking once again with Jeannie Fusco, the Executive Director of the Susan B. Anthony Project, and this is part of our series with the Foundation for Community Health. Let's talk a little bit about your interaction with the Foundation for Community Health. How have they helped the Susan B. Anthony Project?
It's really incredible to be able to continue to do some of the community-focused prevention work that the Foundation has supported all the way back to 2006 in a variety of different ways. But I mentioned a bit ago that we focus on doing prevention work, and we are meeting kids from preschool through grade 12 and, of course, beyond, and community members, but we are creating age-appropriate, developmentally appropriate opportunities to talk to kids about the kind of interpersonal violence that could arise in life and how they might seek, you know, an intervention in order to prevent that. So we might do something around bullying and or as kids get a little bit older, around the concept of conflict and all the way through until we get into the high school years where we are being able to look at with students what healthy relationships are and what some of the red flags in creating greater awareness, and that there's always a safe place, safe people that they can reach out to identify that they may need some support and assistance.
Now, if there's people listening right now and they want to contact you, the easiest way to contact you is via the web?
Or what I would say, 24/7, our hotline is operational. It's 860-482-7133. That will directly connect to a counselor who addresses sexual violence and domestic violence concerns. And they can just press 2 when they call that number, and it will go right to the counselor.
All right. And one final question. Are we better off now? Are we more aware? Are we dealing with domestic violence than we were, let's say, 15 years ago, 10, 15 years ago?
I would say that in both sexual violence and domestic violence, we are beginning to have real conversations about domestic and sexual violence. We are attempting not to couch those terminologies in differing ways. We see greater focus from the media on defining them according to the dynamics which they are. And in that way, I would say that the greater the awareness is, the better knowledge that there is in the community, that there's a place for support and assistance. All of those things have been really beneficial, as have been the collaborations that have arisen in all of our communities with police and others that we're collaborating with daily on behalf of survivors.
And I'm going to make a statement. You can tell me whether I'm right or wrong, but I feel that to really eradicate and bring this totally under control, it takes a while, simply because I think you have to start with young people. You have to start with young people before they get involved in situations, and you have to educate young people. And over the course of times, I think that is the answer that really is out there.
I think that that is absolutely right, and I think that that is the thing that the Foundation for Community Health has recognized in supporting our work around prevention. And here, where that is a critical piece of our mission, we believe very strongly that in order to break the cycles of these coercive and controlling experiences of sexual and domestic violence, we need to do just that, is work with young people throughout their lifespan to understand and create knowledge about these forms of violence that exist.
And once again, the Susan B. Anthony Project. Jeannie, thanks for taking a few minutes and joining with us this morning, and just keep up the great work. I know, like I said, many years ago, you helped my family out, my sister out, and it's a service that is undoubtedly essential for our area.
Well, thank you so much for raising awareness, and to the great work that the Foundation for Community Health is doing as well.
All right. Have a good day. Thanks, Jeannie.
Thank you.
Once again, our Foundation for Community Health program this morning, talking with the Susan B. Anthony Project here on Robin Hood Radio.